Hello, this is Jensen Franklin, and thank you so much for joining us for this week's podcast. Our goal is to provide you with biblically based teachings that will challenge, inspire, and equip you to live for Jesus. If you haven't already, I'd love for you to go ahead and subscribe today to this podcast so you can get the latest updates from us and you don't ever have to miss a new message. Let's go right into the service. Recorded at Free Chapel. I believe it's going to bless you today. 1 Kings chapter 20. You know, it's Palm Sunday, so you got a right to rejoice today. You might as well just let the praise loose in your heart today because God is good. And I've not come with a bad story. I've come with a good story. Look in 1 Kings chapter 20. It starts bad, but it ends good. Now Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his forces together. 32 kings were with him with horses and chariots. He went up and besieged Samaria and made war against it when he sent messengers into the city to Ahab, king of Israel, and said to him, thus says Ben-Hadad. I want to mention that he was named after his father. His father's name was Hadad, and it means the king of whirlwinds. His father was such a brutal man, and now the son, which notice the terminology of the words it talks about, I'm going to make you like dust. He's saying, I am the reincarnation of my father, and I'm coming to destroy like a whirlwind. Verse 3, listen to the enemy. Your silver and your gold are mine. Your loveliest wives and children are mine. The king of Israel answered and said, O my Lord, O king, just as you say. No resistance. No opposition. You want my family. You want my marriage. You want my business. You want my finances. Just as you say. And all that I have is yours. Verse 5. Then the messenger came back because the devil never stops. Once you let him in, he takes more and he takes more. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He never stops. If you let him in, he keeps taking. If you don't learn how to resist the enemy, he will never flee. He'll keep coming. And the messenger came back and said, thus says Ben-Hadad, saying, I have sent you, saying, you shall deliver me your silver, your gold, your wives, and your children. But I send my servants to you tomorrow about this time, and they will search your house, coming in your house, and the houses of your servants. And it shall be that whatever is pleasant in your eyes, anything that brings you pleasure, anything that brings you joy, anything that makes you just be glad to be alive, or it means something that's really precious to you and pleasant when you think about it, I'm taking it. Whatever is pleasant in your eyes, they will put it in their hands and take it. So the king of Israel called the elders of the land. He said, notice please how these men seek trouble. They've sent me and sent for my wives and children, silver and gold. And I did not deny him. And the elders and all the people said to him, it's bad when the people have to tell the leader how to lead. Do not listen or consent. Therefore, he said to the messengers of Ben-Hadad, tell my lord the king all that you sent your servant. I was willing to do, but this thing I cannot do. And the messengers departed, and he came back. And that's when he says in verse 10, I'll come like a whirlwind, like there won't nothing be left but dust. Verse 11, finally, the narrative change. The narrative changes. So the king of Israel, after saying, yes, 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 you can have it, you can have it. Tell him, let not the one who puts his armor on boast like he who takes it off. Verse 13, suddenly a prophet approached Ahab, king of Israel, and God said, I'll deliver the enemy into your hand. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about this story because I believe it's a powerful lesson. You hear a lot in the media today about controlling the narrative. You hear it in politics, you hear it in sports, you hear it in even in controversies and crisis. Whoever controls the narrative controls the outcome. That's the thought. That's what people believe. If you keep saying it, doesn't matter what the truth is, just control the narrative and you will control the outcome. And in this story, it's like Ben-Hadad, this evil Syrian king and his army, links up with 32 other kings because he had tried to conquer Israel before. You read it again and again and yet again, it says, and yet again they came against Israel and he couldn't defeat them. But this time was different because he hired 32 different nations, their kings and their armies, against one group of farmers, the Israelites. And it was because Ben-Hadad knew the power of their God. And he thought, this time, because I've got 32 kings and their armies plus my own army, they do not have a chance. Their back is against the wall. I'm going to destroy them. The reason you face great resistance is because the devil knows who you are. The enemy knows who you are. I believe that the devil's afraid of this church. I believe he knows. I believe demons know that we're here today. I believe that he's afraid because we're anointed to pray. We're anointed to preach. We're anointed to sing. We're anointed to lift Jesus up. We're anointed to lay hands on people. We're anointed today to set captives free. We're anointed today to change the narrative in somebody's life who has accepted addiction and bondage for the rest of your life. That's what the enemy tells you. And as long as you keep letting him come and take and take and take, he'll take your family, he'll take your life, he'll take your aspirations, your dreams, your money, your resources. He will take it all. And then he'll come after that which is pleasurable and seems good to you and things that you enjoy, to where you're suicidal and you see no reason to keep hoping and keep believing. That's what the enemy wants to do. Ahab had his back against the wall, so much so that for the nation of Israel, he was surrendering. He was in the process of negotiating a surrender. And everything the enemy would say is, I don't surrender. I don't coexist with you. If you let me in your life, I come to destroy your life. Don't ever think I'm here to be your buddy. That's what Ben-Hadad, don't ever think we're just gonna get along. I'm coming, I'm taking your children, I'm taking your grandchildren, I'm taking your wife, I'm after your husband. You think he's cute, I'm after him. I wanna mess him up. I wanna mess your family up. I wanna mess your life up. I wanna mess your body up. I wanna mess you up. I am not here to play games with you. You got to see Satan in this story, right? And his narrative for your life is disaster and kill, steal, and destroy, according to John 10:10. That's all he's after. It may be pleasure for a moment, but ultimately he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's hell's agenda. The devil keeps pushing for more and more. I want every precious thing in your sight. Whatever's precious to you, I want it. Everything you like. And there's that moment when the elders spoke to Ahab with such authority that they said, don't consent. What do you mean? He kept taking and you haven't stood up. And there comes that moment when the whole narrative of the story changes, because if you change the narrative, you change the outcome. So many of us just sit back and let the enemy attack and we think, well, we are helpless and that's just how it goes and we don't have any say-so. But I've come today to preach about when victory begins to discover that it has a voice. Don't let the enemy do all the trash talking. Don't let the enemy do all the threats and the fear mongering among your life. Don't let the world and other people's opinion even control the narrative of your life. 116 times Jesus said, "But I say unto you." He knew when he came into the world, the devil in the Garden of Eden had captured the narrative and he was in control, and he said death, he said steal, he said kill, and man was just had to go along. But Jesus said, "I am here now, and the word has become flesh, and I'm dwelling among you, and the enemy says you're defeated and you don't have a hope and you don't have a future, but I say unto you," I say he's not going to kill, steal, and destroy everything pleasant in your life. I have come to give you life and give it more abundantly. Victory has a voice. You have to talk victory. You have to get to that moment. And I love it because there came that moment when something snapped in him. Something said, "I have surrendered and gave up all that I'm going to give up. I'm taking everything you've got," Ben-Hadad said. And he said, "I was, when I started this conversation, okay." And some of you have your back against the wall. The enemy is coming right now like a flood, like a whirlwind, and he's promising to reduce you down to ashes and nothing but dust. And I love the power of an anointed service. Because you're watching me on television and the enemy said, "I want your gold and your silver," and your business is under attack. And he's coming, he said, "I want your children," and your children are under attack. And your marriage is, "I want your wife, I want your husband." It's all hitting on every front. And then he's going through saying, "I'm going to take the pleasure and the joy out of life. I'm going to make you so miserable, so maimed that you can't even enjoy. You don't have peace. I want you sucking your teeth. I want you negative. I want you walking around just hating life and bitter and angry and mad and upset. Everything pleasant, I'm coming after it." And that might be how you walked in here, but you came to the wrong service and you're watching the wrong program. Because the prophet showed up with a word from the Lord in the text that I read. And that word is still alive in this year, in this day, in this hour, and in our lives and our families. You know, he said, basically, I like what Ahab, something hit him. Something came all over him. You know, there's two kinds of fighters. There's like people who train and they do MMA and judo and karate, and they're ready. I mean, they are playing. They've been waiting on this day their whole life. They go into kung fu mode and they're ready to go. And then there's those people who they don't work out much. But if you don't watch it, sometimes you can catch them on the wrong day. I'm one of those people. I will run any day. I can run. I'm a runner. I'll outrun you. But I don't want to fight you. But there are days. I don't even want to tell the story that keeps coming to my mind. But when my little boy Drake was about that big and he was playing football, and there was a man out on the field that was on the other team, and he grabbed my son and jerked him and shook him like that by his shoulder pads. And he wasn't his coach. He's just shaking him. Something came over me. I jumped over the fence. It was like slow motion. I was running through the field. "Get your hands off my boy, Al." And thank God one of our members happened to be out there, and he ran across and grabbed me and said, "Hold on, Pastor." And I snapped back to who I am. But we were going to fight. It was going down right there on that field. And that's how we ought to feel when the enemy says, "I'm going to destroy your children and your family
because this battle is not ours. We're fighting with God backing up. The cross has won the battle. The blood has won the battle. It is not by might or power. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. I need somebody to give God a praise if you believe. I do not intend to let hell control the narrative. Well, you got cancer. So now you got a decision. Are you going to let hell control the narrative? Because hell's going to tell you what to say. Just give up. Just know that you're going to die. Just know there's no hope. And people die, and so God doesn't heal anymore. And you know so many people who died, so just give up. Or you can say, devil, you cannot threaten me with heaven. Are you crazy? What if you die? What if I do? It's called a shortcut to heaven. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. And so I will, until my last breath, say things like, by his stripes I'm healed. And when people ask me to pray for them, I don't care what condition they're in. If I'm coming, I'm going to lay my hands and say, Lord, I commit them to you, but I'm praying that you'll heal them. Either heal them in this room or take them to heaven and heal them, but no more suffering. And I'm going to tell you what, God is still a healer by his stripes. You better learn not to let the enemy just keep coming and attacking your mind, your body, your family, and you have no resistance. You control the narrative. The Bible said in Proverbs 18, life and death are in the power of your tongue, and you eat the fruit thereof. Somebody's in the storm of your life. You're ready to throw up your hands and quit. You're already negotiating the surrender. But the Lord has sent me today to tell you victory has a voice. And it wasn't until that king began to use his voice to proclaim victory that the battle started turning. These stories were written for our learning, the Bible said. We're supposed to react like God shows us in the scripture. And victory doesn't come until we understand that victory has a voice. You should say things like what the Bible says. If you're barely hanging on and you're in a bad place, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, now thanks be unto God who always gives us the victory in every place. There's nowhere I go. What does that mean? Does that mean I won't go through stuff? Does that mean I'm not suffering? Does that mean I won't ever go through pain? I won't ever go through attacks? I won't go through loss? I won't go through any negative stuff? No. Listen to what he said. Now thanks be unto God who always gives us the victory in every place. What does that mean? That means it doesn't matter where I find myself. It doesn't matter what happens to me and my family. God still has promised victory, and we are to put a voice to that victory. The cross has won. The blood has won. The name of Jesus has won. And here's what the Bible said that I carry with me. Jesus is with me. No matter what I go through, that's what he promises. No matter how much I'm broken and crying, he's with me. Therefore, he cannot be defeated, and I am his child. Take a praise break right now. When victory starts talking, devil, you want to fight? You might beat me, but you're going to know you were in a fight. I'm going to swing. I'm going to hit. I'm going to scratch like a girl. I'm going to poke you in the eye. I'm going to pull your hair. I'm going to spit. I'm going to kick you in places you don't want me to kick you. I'll fight any way I have to fight. But you're not getting my family. You're not getting my finances. You're not getting my joy and my pleasure in life. For in his presence there's fullness of joy. And at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Turn to somebody and say, the sorrowful crying days will not last forever. Pleasure. Pleasure needs to come back.
Well, I'm single and looking.
Pleasure. Change that. Change the narrative. I'm single and looking for Jesus to come. And if he decides to give me a mate, great. If he doesn't, I'm happy just like I am. Go anywhere I want to go, do anything I want to do. The most miserable people I know are not people who are single. Let's just tell the truth. Now, I just want to say somebody needs to give victory a voice. Not when you get a ring, or not when you get the job, or not when you get the house. What about right here, right now, in every place. Pleasure. Enjoy the goodness of God. You could be hooked up to a ventilator. You could be getting chemotherapy, but here you sit and you're letting worry torment you. Control the narrative and you control the outcome. Why am I screaming? I'm wearing my voice out. Hallelujah. Let victory start speaking through your mouth. Let joy start speaking through your mouth. Let peace start speaking through your mouth. Let purpose start coming through your mouth. Let faith start coming. Talk faith. Talk victory. Talk good success. Talk blessed. I tell you, I feel like saying it like I wrote it. I walk in favor. Hallelujah. I walk in wisdom. I walk in blessing. I know the enemy's got weapons pointing at me, but no weapon formed shall prosper. I'll just control that narrative. I refuse to preach until the deadheads shout too. Everybody that's got breath, give God some praise. Oh, I feel this thing. It's more than a preacher getting you hyped up. When you begin to do what that book says, when you begin to praise him, when you're going through suffering and pain and brokenness, God notices things people don't notice. Even nature gives examples. When an elephant fights another male elephant, two male elephants will fight over who gets to breed and have the family. And when an outside elephant comes in and dominant, tries to be dominant and take it from the alpha male elephant, the one that wins will blow a trumpet. His trunk. He'll just throw his head back after he wins, because victory has a voice. Even the lions, when the territorial lions cross the line and come over and try to take that alpha male lion's family from him, his little cubs and his little lioness, he fights and he wins. You'll hear him roaring for miles. Maybe that's why we don't win much. Maybe we don't ever praise God. Even nature teaches us if you're winning, you ought to make some noise and you ought to get a little confidence about you and kind of carry. I like how Ahab just flipped and he said, don't count your chickens before they hatch, Mr. Ben-Hadad. I still have a God who is faithful. Don't put the armor on like you and act like, before you fight the battle that is the same as after you've taken it off and you're still alive. See, he's getting I'm not talking about arrogance. I'm talking about we got to get some fight in us. Victory has a mouth. Even a rabbit, when it gets away from a predator, you know, they do something. Look this up. Don't do it while I'm preaching. But look this up. When they have a victory in their life and they escape, they'll get somewhere and just jump up in the air and kick one leg out. It's called a binky. They do the binky. I mean, a little rabbit can get away from a fox and say, the devil thought he had me, but he didn't have me. And he'll jump up and kick. And some of you, God's given you a job, given you a house, blessed you coming in, blessed you going out, and you're still too sophisticated to give God a shout. I don't care if you're Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic. I don't care what you are. You ought to give him a praise if it's been good. Even nature says the victor ought to make some noise. Clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God on Palm Sunday with a voice of triumph. But the best one in nature is the impala. South Africa has them. I've seen them. And they said that when a lion is on the horizon, or they know and they sense and they see he's walking through the tall grass, he's hungry and he's on the prowl. And sometimes when the impalas know that they're about to be attacked, they have a little secret thing they do. It's called stanting. And they jump up straight up in the air right where they are. They jump straight up in place, up and down, as high as they can. It's a strange thing. You just see them. And the thing that I read said the impala is known for the characteristic of leaping that constitutes an anti-predatory strategy. It's part of their strategy against the enemy that when they know he's ready to attack and destroy them or their family, that he'll just start jumping up high. Why? Because they said, I love this. If you're going after the weak, what they're really saying to the enemy, if you're going out after the weak, it's not me. That deadhead sitting right there, look at him. He hadn't moved the whole sir. I'm not weak. I'm going to fight you. If you come against me, I know how to praise. I know how to pray. I know how to call my best friend and her best friend and his best friend. I know how to get oil out. I know how to anoint. I know how to bind devils and loose victory. Oh, come on here. If I were the devil, I'd pick on some of you. They're saying to that lion, I'm not weak. Even if I'm being stalked, even if you're coming anyhow, I just want you to know I got something for you. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians. Everybody say, victory has a voice. Look how big this voice, and look how big this is. 1 Corinthians 15 says this, this incorruptible shall put on incorruption. This mortal has put on immortality. And then shall it be brought to pass the saying, death. Notice the wording. How do you swallow unless you got a mouth? Death is swallowed up in victory. Victory's got a mouth that can, if Jesus could give voice, he's saying, if I don't care what you're facing, if I can conquer death, I can conquer anything. And I have swallowed up death in victory. Whenever your team is winning, you're supposed to be the loudest team. Talk victory. Walk into the battle with the Word of God. Even Jesus, when he comes back after the rapture takes place, the nation of Israel will be surrounded. And the Bible said all nations will turn against Israel. And folks, we're seeing it right before our eyes. We have people in our government this week who gave speech. One of them, the leader of the Senate, gave a speech and said, we need to consider cutting off all support of Israel until they do what we think and many in the world think they should do, and not defend. They're still fighting that Ben-Hadad spirit. That's all that is. How can you like this story and not love those people? But the Bible says, it's one of the prophecies, that every nation in the world will turn their back on Israel. And in that moment, God, Jesus Christ, will get on a white horse and ride down into the valley of Megiddo, where the armies look like they're going to win. And he will open his mouth. And just when it looks like all the armies are going to destroy Israel, your Bible said a sword will come out of his mouth and consume the Antichrist and consume the false prophet and consume the beast. Oh, hallelujah. Death will be swallowed up in victory. And I want to say this Easter season, if you've lost someone that you love, why don't you make your narrative instead of, it's so sad and the pleasure's gone and there's no joy left. Why don't you change the narrative and give victory a voice and say, death, you have been swallowed up in victory. Because of Jesus, there's an empty tomb and there is eternal life. I pray today that there would be a holy losing it. That people like Ahab, but there's that trained fighter, and then there's those people that just lose it in the moment. And something just takes over. And I tell you, part of the battle that we're in is when you decide to give victory a voice in the situation. All things. So how do I give it a voice? Walk out of here, number one, saying, he's with me. Jesus is with me. He never will leave me. There's nothing that can ever make him leave me. He is with me. I'm going to be all right. I'm not promising you that everything's going to change. I'm promising you that whatever pack of lions you have lined in, you have to go into, whatever fiery furnace you have to walk through, you're going to find Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll dry your tears. Weeping will endure for the night. I'm going to bring joy in the morning. The sun's going to shine. Number one. Number two, my Bible said you should walk out, change the narrative by saying this, all things. Well, since I got a stage, all things work together for the good. You don't believe that? Not just the good things, not just the pleasant things, not just the successful things, but all things work together. Oh man, I can walk in confidence. I can say, well, I don't understand this. I don't understand how eggs and flour and salt and sugar over here are gonna make me a good cupcake. I don't get it. Well, the reason that it's not good is it's not all together yet. All you're tasting is the salty part. All you're tasting is the baking soda. All you're tasting is the flour. But when he puts it all together, actually, I don't talk about my wins. I talk about how I was so low that I didn't know how I was going to make it. Now I can praise him. It makes me love him more. Not just the wins, thank God for it, but it's the struggles. It all works together for the good. So change the narrative.
I really want to say thank you for joining us this week. If you haven't already, make sure you click on the subscription button and leave us a review. It helps this podcast reach even more people when you comment, when you give us your feedback. For more messages and inspirational materials, download the Jensen Franklin app, or you can head over to jensenfranklin.org. I want to thank all of you who give generously to help us produce weekly content like this to reach the world with the message of Jesus. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.